Right, well, if you'd like to open your Bibles, we've got blue Bibles in front of you. And the passage today is Mark chapter 4, and it's the beginning at verse 35. I don't know what the page number is, so if anyone gets there and wants to shout out the page number.
709.
Mark 4, verse 35. 709, I think. 709. So this morning, we are resuming our series on Mark's Gospel. If you can remember, way back in the distant past, that is September, we started looking at Mark's Gospel, and we're going to keep going until we get all the way to the end. We'll reach the end at Easter next year, because we're taking a couple of breaks. So we took a break for Christmas, and now we're starting again in verse 35. And the question that we're thinking about throughout this series is, who is Jesus? The series is called Seeing Jesus. You can see I didn't quite get time to make a new slide, so we used the slide from the autumn, slightly modified. The series is called Seeing Jesus, because Mark's Gospel isn't about coming up with some grand theological ideas or writing an essay or anything like that. He's trying to show us who Jesus is. That's what he wants to do. So through Mark's Gospel, as we look through it from start to end, my prayer is that all of us here will see Jesus in a new way. Whether that's for the first time or the thousandth time, that somehow through this, through Mark's Gospel, we will see Jesus in a new way. And the question this morning that the disciples asked, who is this, they said. Who is this? Now, the day started in a fairly ordinary way. If you look at verse 1, the day, evening came. Well, evening comes on most days, doesn't it? That was a fairly normal thing to happen, and it was evening time. And Jesus sent his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Well, that was a fairly normal thing as well. Jesus was often, throughout his ministry, crisscrossing the Sea of Galilee. Whether he wanted to have a bit of peace and quiet from the crowds, or whether he needed to go visit someone on the other side, he was constantly, wasn't he, in the Gospels, going backwards and forwards across the Sea of Galilee. Possibly why, because he knew he was going to do that, possibly that's why he called some fishermen to be his disciples, because they have boats. I imagine he made use of their boats when he was doing all this crisscrossing. So it was fairly ordinary for them. They wouldn't have thought anything of it. It was evening time. They'd had a busy day with Jesus teaching in parables, just like normal. And they got into their boats. In fact, there wasn't just one boat. If you look in verse 36, they left the crowd behind and they were went in their boat, and there were other boats with them. There was a mini flotilla of boats. If you can imagine it, sailing serenely across the Sea of Galilee in the evening sun. What a lovely evening it was. And Jesus fell asleep. I often fall asleep in the evening, so I don't know what time you guys fall asleep. If I've not had a nap during the day, sometimes I sit in front of the telly, and if I lie on the sofa, I'm asleep in about 5 minutes. Well, Jesus has had a really busy day. He'd been teaching and teaching and teaching, and so it's not a surprise that he fell asleep. That's a fairly normal thing as well. So up to this point, it's a fairly ordinary day. But then, verse 37, a furious squall came up, my Bible says, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, I can't remember if I've preached on this passage here before and told you this, but if I have, I'll tell you again. Those two words there, which my Bible says furious squall, the two words are seismos, megas. Okay, the word seismos is where we get the word seismograph from. What do they measure? Earthquakes. That's right, they measure earthquakes. And what do you think the word megas means?
Big.
Big, huge. This was no ordinary storm. Mark described it as a seismos megas, what you might describe an enormous earthquake. And we get another clue that this wasn't an ordinary storm either, because Jesus was in the stern, verse 38, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They thought their number was up. But remember who they are. At least four of them were fishermen. They've been on that sea every day for most of their lives. They knew what the weather was like. They knew the storms. Doubtless they've been in many, many storms themselves. I don't know if you ever listen to the shipping forecast. Sometimes that's what helps me get to sleep. It's on at the right time. It's for all the fishermen, isn't it? So that they know what the weather's going to be like. I have to say, I can't think of many jobs that suit me less than being a fisherman in the North Sea. I just can't imagine. I love the sea, but I don't really like being on the sea. And I particularly don't like being on the sea when the waves are going up and down. Jess and I went on a holiday in the summer, and we took a boat from the island we were on to the next door island. And it was a lovely day, but just at that point, there are two or three different currents meet on the ocean. And so it's really choppy. And I was feeling quite poorly. Jess was too. But the thing is, when I feel like that, I have to not see the horizon. Because when I see the horizon going like this, it makes me feel even worse. Jess needs fresh air when she feels like that. So what happened was, for 2 hours, I sat inside the boat on my own, and Jess sat outside on the deck on her own. It wasn't the most romantic trip we've ever taken together. And it wasn't even that bad. But I can't imagine a worse job for me than being a North Sea fisherman. Maybe it suits you guys, I don't know. Certainly doesn't suit me. This storm was so bad that these hardened fishermen thought they were going to snuff it. They thought this was it. And they couldn't believe that Jesus was asleep. Now, I know that some of you struggle with sleep. You probably know that I struggle with sleep. I wish I could sleep like Jesus. Let's put it like that. I don't know how he was sleeping. With that storm going on, the waves were literally crashing over the side of the boat. And Jesus was asleep. I imagine the disciples were getting really worked up. And eventually they go and they shake him awake and they say, "Jesus, don't you care if we drown?" Well, of course he did. It's a silly question. But they were terrified. And when you're terrified, you often do silly things. You say silly things. But actually, the thing they did was the right thing. They turned to Jesus. In the middle of that raging storm, they didn't just give up and sit in the stern of the boat going, "Oh, well, this is it. Time to meet the Maker." They didn't do that. They didn't give up. They went to Jesus. Now, they were terrified. They didn't display a huge amount of trust. But at least they turned to Jesus. And Jesus, he didn't say anything to them at first. He just got up, verse 39, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a tremendous storm where the wind is really blowing and rattling the windows. I expect you probably have. I've been told by teachers that when the wind blows like that during the day, in classrooms, the kids go a little bit crazy. Yeah, I've got a couple of people who've worked in schools nodding. I don't know why, but apparently that's what happens. Again, when Jess and I were away over the new year, there was an almighty storm in the middle of the night. There was a huge flash of lightning and then an instantaneous thunderclap, which was by far and away the loudest thunderclap I have ever heard. It was so loud, it sounded almost like an explosion. It was quite terrifying. Those of you who know Olive doesn't like wind. I always know when the weather's going to be bad because Olive posts on Facebook that she's not looking forward to the evening because of the... I'm sure Olive would love to have this ability that Jesus had to say, "Quiet!" Yeah, she's nodding away to the wind. You pray. She does pray. But wouldn't it be incredible, and I'm sure you'd all be amazed, if Olive got out of her room, stood outside and said, "Quiet!" to the wind, and it all disappeared. Wouldn't you be amazed? Yeah? Some of you nodding your head. That doesn't happen, does it? I mean, if I stood outside this church and said, "Oi, stop raining," you'd all think I'd lost it, wouldn't you? I expect you would. Yeah? Maybe I already have. Maybe that's why you're laughing at it. That doesn't happen. We don't have that gift. We don't have that power over nature. We saw the destruction of nature, didn't we? In the autumn, just in the late summer, with those awful hurricanes which destroyed so much of the Caribbean. The power of nature is so much greater, even than our biggest weapons. We cannot come close to the power of nature. There were some incredible pictures, weren't there? I don't know if you saw the images from the International Space Station of the hurricanes from space that were something like 200 miles across. And you could see them swirling like this as they moved across. The power is immense. And Jesus said, "Be quiet." Just like you'd be terrified or rather amazed if I or Olive did that, I mean, it was a bad storm one day, so the disciples were terrified as well. "Who is this guy?" they said. "How can he do that?" Now, although this is early in Jesus' ministry, they've seen him do all sorts of things. Remember that during the day, Jesus has spent the whole day teaching in parables. Sometimes people say Jesus was a wonderful teacher. Well, he was. A few days earlier, they'd seen Jesus perform miracles and heal people. Sometimes people say Jesus was a wonderful, kind man. Well, he was. The disciples knew that. They knew he was kind. They knew he was a wonderful teacher. But when they saw this, they said, "Who is this guy? He's not just a kind man. He's not just a good teacher. This is something else. People don't do this sort of thing. Who is he?" Friends, I don't know who you think Jesus is today. A few weeks ago, I did ask everyone in the church to write down on a piece of paper. I'm not going to ask you to do that today. It was really interesting to see the range of answers, the different ways that you describe who you think Jesus is, what he means to you. Some of you, what he doesn't mean to you. But that question the disciples had is the question that all of us need to ask for ourselves. Who is this guy? See, it doesn't do to say Jesus was just a nice or a kind man who did some nice things and helped a few people and then was cruelly killed by the Romans. It doesn't do to say Jesus was a good teacher who taught all sorts of wonderful moral stuff about how to live our lives. He did all those things, but he is so much more than that. It's what the disciples saw. I wonder if you can see that as well. Who is this? The disciples said. I wonder who you think Jesus is.